Adrian Petterick, the member for Hammond, says MPs who defect from the Liberal Party should pay back election campaign money. It follows his comments about the defection and appointment of Hills MP Dan Cregan as Speaker as the biggest dog act he'd ever seen. Mr. Petterick joins me now to discuss. Hi there, Adrian.
Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, listeners.
In a moment, let's talk about your bid to change campaign money rules. But first, Mr. Cregan's moves over the past couple of months obviously have struck a nerve.
Well, look, over the last few months, and I guess Dan as an individual can make his own choices, but he was going to exit politics, and we were obviously disappointed at that. But so we started going through the process of what we do about pre-selecting a candidate in Kabul. Then he decided to come back, and then down the track decided to become an independent, and then decided to take on the speakership with the support of the Labor Party. So, yes, it is disappointing.
Mm. So there have been some, you know, there have been a couple of defectors in the party. So you put forward a motion at a Liberal joint party room meeting that would mandate a legal contract for MPs to financially penalise defectors. Is that right?
Well, I'm not going to comment because I don't leak from the party room and I don't discuss what goes on in the party room and what actually happened in there.
Okay.
But it is no secret from my previous comments that I'm not happy about defectors. And part of that reason is I spent 12 years in opposition. Some of my friends spent 16 years in opposition. And I really enjoy, actually love seeing the amount of spending, the $16.9 billion of infrastructure spend, $17.9 going into the regions right around South Australia, whether it's health, roads, education. I mean, education alone, $1.3 billion. And none of this infrastructure in regional South Australia would be built under the Labor Party. And that's why I'm so keen to see a Liberal Party return to government, and defections don't help, especially when defectors are getting supported by the Labor Party.
Mm. But, I mean, from what I understand, is it right that Liberal MPs pay 5% of their salary to the party?
Well, yes, we do all pay 5% as a levy to the party. That is correct. But that goes into the overall campaign fund on electronic advertising. It's not channeled towards your local campaign. And, you know, tens and tens of thousands, up to 100,000 can be spent on local campaigns. So the 5%, yep, that's fine. That goes into the overall state campaign. But there is tens and tens and thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars raised in some electorates. You know, business people believing they're supporting the Liberal cause. You've got people, Liberal Party members out assisting with door-knocking, campaigning, handing out flyers, standing on booths. And, you know, I don't think it's too hard to expect a little bit of loyalty coming back their way. And I guess that's the one that I feel for the most, the volunteers on the ground that support Liberal members into Parliament or Liberal Party people who become members, and then they leave.
Hmm. I think something that was concerning to some people was a quote from Mr. Cregan. He said, "A senior government advisor told me you're in a safe seat. You won't get the investment you're asking for right now." Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I don't know whether that comment was made or not, and I can't. You know, I'm not going to reflect on too much on a comment that I can't validate. But what I'll say is one thing. As I said, I saw 12 years in opposition, where I saw no money spent in the regions. We've had to play so much catch-up, as is evidenced by the amount of roadworks right throughout the state, whether it's right throughout every regional area or through the city, with some major infrastructure there as well. And sometimes you do have to be patient. I mean, the budget's now at about $21 billion. There's only so much money to go around, and we are building infrastructure right across the state. I mean, I look at Carvel at the moment. It's receiving something like $450 million worth of funding right throughout the board. When you see the sports facilities funding, that the major sports centre's been built there, plans for a new ED, there's obviously school funding going in. in there $250 million, and $200 million of that, I note, is federal money going into the Harndorff bypass. So there is a lot of money being spent in Carville, as there is in my electorates, had very close to $200 million just out of this last year's budget for a range of things like the old Murray Bridge rebuild at $36 million. I've got about $35 million in education spending. And then there's obviously been sport grants, business grants to different industries of $2 million. And I've seen $42 million spent on the Narcat and Brownswell highways, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. So I think the secret is you just have to keep campaigning. And the problem is, we've seen over time Liberal support Labor governments. Well, I can tell you, not Liberals, sorry, Independents support a Labor government when they get in. And that's been proven with Rory McEwen, Carlene Maywald, Jeff Brock, and Peter Lewis, the former member for Hammond, all supported Labor governments. And guess what? The funding just dries up in regional areas. And so people expect to have a Liberal there, and it's just so good in the last 3.5, heading into 4 years, to see the infrastructure spend getting spent across the regions. And we all want more, and that's correct, but you just got to keep asking for it. And I look at the Murray Bridge Emergency Department. I lobbied for that for years, and for 4 years over an election cycle, and guess what? It's there and servicing the needs of the community.
Adrian Pederick, the member for Hammond, is with me. The Corunda Emergency Department was forced to close on Friday, October 22, due to unexpected staff shortages. It's a big challenge in the region, isn't it, healthcare at the moment?
Well, there's a big challenge right across the state for healthcare at the moment, because we've had demands for staff to transfer to COVID positions right across the state, whether it's on border control, vaccination stations like at Yamba or Tail and Bend, in my electorate, and that has dragged a lot of staff away to other duties, keeping us safe from COVID-19 and the Delta strain of the virus. So that is part of the issue, and quite a major part of the issue. There have been some human resources issues out there and at Corunda, and I won't go into the detail of that, but there has been some staff recently leave the area, but I can assure you that we as a government and SA Health, we're looking at recruiting additional staff and providing training opportunities and strengthening the workforce. But, you know, this is part of the pressures of keeping South Australia safe, and we're working on reopening that emergency department. And I've had multiple discussions with Minister Wade and Wayne Champion, the CEO of Riverland Mallee Coorong Health, to make sure we get that service up and running. But at the moment, people are being diverted through to Murray Bridge, and we're making sure that people get the treatment they need and deserve. And not only that, we have the retrievals with both the helicopter and the flying doctor service as well.
Oh, that's good to know, because it's a bit of a drive. It's like 45 minutes or so, I think.
Look, absolutely. Mm. Look, it is quite a distance there, and obviously the hospital is still functions, and people can attend, and they'll be transferred straight through with the South Australian Ambulance Service, but they'll be transferred straight through. There is the opportunity to be seen by a nurse there. But look, it's one of those things we're looking at. We've got 1,200 nurse graduates coming out in the next 6 to 8 weeks, and that will be a real boost to health across the region and across the state. I mean, we've invested an extra $1 billion in health over the last period, and we've got the health budget running at $7.4 billion, which is about a third of the whole state budget.
So what's the plan for November 23, starting to open up those borders for people who've been vaccinated?
Right. Well, that is the date we're going to open up. We believe we're certainly going to reach 80% then, if fully vaccinated. And as far as the border restrictions that will be eased, then we'll have open borders to fully vaccinated people from all Australian territories as far as interstate travel. Quarantine will still apply to visitors from local government areas with community transmission and less than 80% of the population fully vaccinated. So people will still be able to come across the borders. We'll still have quarantine hotels like Tom's Court Hotel operating. And as far as overseas travel arriving, vaccinated international arrivals will require 7 days quarantine, and unvaccinated authorised arrivals will require 14 days quarantine. But I don't know if there's too many people getting on flights unvaccinated. My belief is that pretty close to everyone will have to be vaccinated to get on an international flight. So as far as activities remaining in place from November the 23rd, masks will stay in place in indoor public settings. Current density and activity requirements, we're looking at 30 people at home gathering, so we're boosting that by 10 pre-Christmas. And there'll be a private activity cap of 150 people. And certainly we don't want to stop at 80% vaccination. And we've seen through the Australian Capital Territory in New South Wales that Australians are willing to get vaccinated at levels over 90%. And, you know, we in South Australia have demonstrated a world-class COVID response, and we want to do even better. So this is a window to get fully vaccinated so we can lift restrictions more broadly. And so that'll mean a safer, better Christmas for everyone. So when we get to 90% fully vaccinated, which is down the track a bit, borders will be open to all fully vaccinated domestic and international arrivals. Unvaccinated arrivals will require 14 days quarantine. And we're looking at lifting restrictions on most activities.
Hey, I'm going to have to leave it there, Adrian Pederick. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, listeners.